Well, turn to Hebrews, the 8th chapter.
Praise God.
Beginning in verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. That's the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand of the Father. By how much also he is the mediator. Notice he's got a dual ministry today, not only of the great high priest, but the mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises. The covenant that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about the fact that we have a covenant. The word covenant means to cut where blood flows. So we actually have a blood covenant with God Himself. We pointed out the importance of the covenant, the fact that when two people enter into covenant with each other, that it's very important. It's actually the exchange of lives. You see, there is something brought out in the Word of God that when two people exchange their lives and enter into covenant with each other, it is inseparable. You say, well, somebody could break the covenant. No, I'm going to show you why it's impossible to break a covenant. You know, if Daniel and I were to enter into covenant with each other, we would probably both, first of all, cut across our hands, our palms. And the moment we shake hands with each other, his blood mingles with mine. I'm going to ask you a question. How do you unmingle blood? It's impossible. When blood flows together between two individuals, you can't tell whose blood is whose. It now forms a new blood. It now comes together in union. And when we entered into blood covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's his life mingled with ours. And there's no separation of lives. The lives are commingled to each other. That's why he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's that friend, that blood covenant friend that sticks closer than a brother. Our lives are literally mingled together. And so he became the mediator of that new covenant. The next verse says, verse 7, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. He says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. He said, let's just stop for just a moment. Let's put all spiritual things off for a moment. Let's look at this thing strictly from a human viewpoint. Let's suppose he says in this verse, he says, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. In other words, before we enter into covenant with each other, Daniel and I had better be sure we know what we're doing. Because even when two men draw up a covenant, it is impossible once the blood is mingled to disannul that covenant. You can't do it. All right? Now, when we shake hands with each other, that covenant comes into effect. We must know that we're ratifying what we promised each other before, that our lives are going to be commingled with each other. And it says neither one of us can disannul that contract or add to it after we've gone our way. You know, it was stated of Jonathan and David. When they entered into covenant with each other, they said this is an eternal covenant. Their seed was blessed after them. Their seed's seed was blessed after them. In other words, the covenant was available to all their heirs after them. Those two became the covenant heads. Once that blood was shed, no more blood needed to be shed from that time on. The rest of the heirs could enter into the covenant simply by accepting the covenant drawn up years before they were born by their grandfather, their great-grandfather, their ancestors, David and Jonathan. It says when two men enter into a covenant, it said neither one can disannul or add to it. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his what? Underline it. Seed. Seed. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises. Underline the word promises. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. It goes on to say, he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is what? All right, we pointed out in Genesis chapter 15 that when God entered into a covenant with Abraham, that first of all, he was put asleep, and God entered into covenant first with his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They took those animals and split them right down the middle, separated the two pieces of the animal, and God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ walked between the pieces of those animals. First of all, it said that a smoking furnace, then it says a burning lamp. The smoking furnace is a type of God the Father, and the lamp is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. They entered into an inseparable covenant with each other, as Hebrews chapter 6 puts it, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. I'm going to tell you what that strong consolation is, that the covenant is not based on me, it's based between God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when I enter into it, I've got a strong consolation when I run to that refuge of hope. Glory to God. So again, we enter into that covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. After that, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ entered into a covenant, then God presented the covenant to Abraham and made many promises to Abraham and his seed. Abraham and his seed. Abraham and his seed. Who is his seed? Jesus Christ. Notice it says, not as of seeds, as of many. Now the seeds, plural, is not a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. The seeds, plural, is a reference to the nation of Israel. God did not draw up that covenant, that Abrahamic covenant, between Abraham and the Jews. He drew up the covenant between Abraham and the Lord Jesus Christ and said, your seed will affect all nations on the face of the earth. So we found out last week that Abraham produced two sets of offspring. He produced a faith race through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he also produced a spiritual race, and that spiritual race was going to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ and the church that we're now a part of in today. Praise God. So it says again, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Verse 17, and I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ. Go back up to verse 15 for just a moment. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, once confirmed, once it's confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Go to verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed, notice God confirmed the covenant with Abraham. And once you confirm it, no man can disannul or add thereto. Now what he's about to bring out is the fact that the law came along later. And what they're saying is, well, surely when God brought along the law, then the Abrahamic covenant wasn't needed anymore. My friend, if God brought along a law later, if God entered in another covenant later, and that covenant overrode the Abrahamic covenant, that would make God below the level of men. Because if two men enter into a covenant with each other and cannot disannul it, then God would have waited for Abraham to die and then disannul his covenant. And God can't do that. So he's bringing out here, why was the Mosaic law brought in? All right, it says in that verse again, it says, verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God, what's the next two words? Say it again. You see, the one who appeared to Abraham and drew up the covenant was the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus said in John chapter 8, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it. He saw it. It was Christ that appeared to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the plan of redemption, gave him the plan of salvation. And in chapter 15, the word says in verse 6, Abraham believed in the Lord and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So he heard the gospel through the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Look at verse 17 and underline the word law. The law, the law, the law. You say, Brother Yandian, what is the difference between the Abrahamic covenant and the law? Follow me. Abraham had two sets of offspring. He had his seed and he had the seeds. He had the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith race that was going to be produced from his loins, the children of promise, but he also had a natural race called the Jews. And as time began to go on, by the time that the nation of Israel was taken into captivity into Egypt and put under bondage for 400 years, listen to me very carefully, the seeds outnumbered the seed. The national race of Israel began to be more prolific and more prolific and bigger, but the number of believers began to be smaller and smaller and smaller, so that by the time Moses came along, there was just very few believers out of that whole nation of Israel. They were all worshiping the gods of Egypt, and the number of seeds far outnumbered the number of seed. In other words, the national race of Israel began to get bigger, and it was God's purpose and God's intention that that nation of Israel not only be the seeds of Abraham, but by faith become the seed of Abraham and take the gospel around the world. The seed of Abraham is going to bless all nations, kindreds, nationalities, and tongues. The purpose that God gave the Abrahamic covenant was to teach righteousness to His people, and they were to go around the world preaching the fact that by faith in Jehovah you can become righteous. So the seeds begin to far outnumber the seed, and so God had to come along later because this nation called Israel began to stick their chest out and said, well, we're part of the Abrahamic covenant because we're born Jews. And He's saying, no, that's not it at all. It's not your national race that causes you to become part of the family of God. It's not your natural race that causes you to be the seed of Abraham. It takes place by believing. It's by faith that you enter into that family. And they begin to say, well, it's because we're born Jews. And so God had to come along with something that would expose their sin. Now follow me very carefully. He approached Abraham one day and He drew up a covenant. And He drew up that covenant called the Abrahamic covenant. And the Abrahamic covenant was drawn up between Abraham and his seed. Abraham and his seed. But 430 years later, He came along and drew up a covenant with the seeds called the law. Are you following me? The law was drawn up with a national race called Israel. And the purpose of it was to expose the fact that they were sinners. Their own self-works and their own nationality wasn't putting them over with God. The purpose of the law was to expose their sin and point them back to the Abrahamic covenant, to where they could change from the seeds of Abraham to the seed of Abraham. Oh, glory to God. So verse 17 says again, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul it. The purpose of the law was never to disannul the Abrahamic covenant. The purpose of it was to expose sin and turn them on to the Abrahamic covenant. So it says again, cannot disannul, that it should make the what? Come on, say it. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. Say it again. What is the difference between the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic law? Follow me. The Abrahamic covenant was drawn up by promise. Drawn up by promise. Then the one that came 430 years later was called law. Promise, law. What is the difference between promise and law? Promise is based on the one who gives the covenant. Law is based on the one who receives the covenant. The Abrahamic covenant was drawn up from God's viewpoint. It was done by promise. Abraham didn't have to do anything except accept it. All the responsibility was on God. But 430 years later, He came along with a temporary covenant, and all the responsibility was on man. If I gave a promise to Brother Daniel, said, Daniel, I promise to give you my car, all he's got to do is say, thank you, I'll take it. That's all there is to it. Who's it up to perform? Me. If I made a promise, all the responsibility is on me. But if I come along later and say, listen, you know, Brother Kirby, I've got a car, but listen, if for the next 4 weeks you do this and that, and after that you do this and that, and you're a good boy, you might get that car. So he's got to go out and hustle and do all the work, and I'm going to watch over him to make sure he does it so he'll get that reward. So the Abrahamic covenant was drawn up by promise. And nothing could disannul that promise. So the law that came along later said, look, all the responsibility is on you. Now prove yourself. And they tried and sweated and did everything they did to prove themselves. When the law was first given, they said, oh, yes, we can keep it. And they fell on their face. The moment that Moses came down from the mountain, they were worshiping a golden calf. And one of the very first part of the law was, thou shalt worship no other gods. You'll have no other gods before me. Of molten images, of graven images, you shall not make them. And they said, oh, yes, we can keep that. Moses was gone for a mere 40 days and came back down. And the whole camp was worshiping a golden calf. From time after time, they failed and failed and failed and failed. Why? Because all the obligation was on them. God gave them a holy commandment they couldn't keep. And every time they tried to keep it, it kept exposing their problem, exposing their problem. They looked to it as an answer, and all it did was exaggerate their problem. What was the purpose? After they got so frustrated, the purpose of the law was to show them that they're a sinner and they need a Savior, and then to show them the answer, which was the Abrahamic covenant. part of the law included sacrifices, and the sacrifices were to teach them of the Abrahamic covenant, which was the gospel spoken to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. At least by faith you're with me. All right. Look at that verse again. It says in verse 17, the end of it, it said the law which was 430 years after cannot disannul it, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. The whole thing of redemption, salvation by faith, is that once you accept it, God's the one that performs. He's the one that sent Jesus to the cross. He's the one that paid the full price. He's the one that's given remission. He's the one that's given healing. He's the one that satisfies us. He's the one that gives us all our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's why we can shout out with Paul, I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it says again in that verse, it's no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Verse 19, you say, what good is the law then? Well, it says, what then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. See, the seeds were forming faster than the seed. And the seeds were proud of the fact they were seeds. They went around bragging the fact, we're the seed of Abraham. And Jesus said, no, you're not. If that's the kind of seeds God wanted, He could raise them out of rocks. That's not the type of seeds He's looking for. He said the type of seed He's looking for, He said, is those who are of faith. So that verse says again, it says, it was added because of transgression. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. Who is the seed?
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
If you don't get anything else this morning, at least get this. The law was only added till Jesus came, period. We're no longer under the law. The law lasted from Moses till Jesus, period. We're no longer under it. The law was added till the seed should come to whom the promises were made way back there in Ur of the Chaldees in chapter 12. When Christ appeared to Abraham and said, I've got a covenant for you, and Abraham said, yes, I'd like that, He put him to sleep. So he couldn't help. Because this covenant had to be one that could not be broken, so God drew it up between Himself and His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then woke Abraham up and said, now look, by two immutable things we've drawn up a contract that you can have a strong consolation. Do you want this? He said, yes. So God ratified the covenant with him. Now, about a mere 25 years later, Abraham had himself circumcised. God commanded it. Why? Because through circumcision is the shedding of blood. And so again, Abraham entered into that Abrahamic covenant. He entered into a covenant with God and he shed his blood. So that verse 19 says this, it says it was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it, that is the law, go back up to verse 19 again in the beginning of it. The subject is the law. The subject is not the Abrahamic covenant. The subject is the law. Wherefore then serveth the law? It, the law, was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it, that is the law, was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now who is the mediator of the law? Moses. John 1:17 tells us that Moses was the mediator of the law. This is also told us in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 19. It's also told us in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 5. Moses was the mediator of the law. Can you begin to see one fallacy of the law right off the bat? It had a lousy mediator. You say, well, why did it have a lousy mediator? You know, if labor and management got into a dispute, you know, you've been probably keeping track of the, for those sports buffs, you've been keeping track of the NFL strikes and all this. And what do? They call in for a federal mediator. Somebody that can try to pull these two impossibilities together. Their views are so different. Their desires are so poles apart that it looks like nothing can bring them together. So they call in somebody that's kind of impartial, you know. That's why you come in for counseling. You need somebody who's on the outside, you know, not so wrapped up in all the details. So they bring in this guy who, like a counselor, he stands there as a mediator. He listens to both sides and tries to come in with a fresh viewpoint and pull the two together. All right? But wouldn't it be lousy if a mediator came in and he's partial toward one side? Well, see, that's what happened here with the law. When God came to establish the law on this earth, the mediator ended up being Moses. And what's wrong with Moses? Well, he's only equal to one side. He's equal with man. See? But listen to this. 430 years before that time, God drew up another covenant. And when he came down to man to present it to him, he also had another mediator, but the mediator of the Abrahamic covenant was Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you rather have Christ as a mediator than Moses? All right? Now, when Moses' law came along, it was begging for someone to fulfill it. Since the mediator was a man had to fulfill it. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ came along and fulfilled it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, I have not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And Jesus fulfilled it when he hung on the cross and said, it is finished. I've read some books. E.W. Kenyon, tremendous man of God, blessed me in everything. But there's one thing he said in his book that I highly disagree with. He said when Jesus hung on the cross and said, it is finished, he was referring to the Abrahamic covenant. He was not. When Jesus hung on the cross, he fulfilled the law every jot and tittle. When he said, it is finished, the Mosaic law was defunct, out of the way, fulfilled forever. Why? Because we're still under the Abrahamic covenant and will be till it is fulfilled. And the same one who came and fulfilled the Mosaic law will come again at the second advent and fulfill the covenant of Abraham. And everything promised to the Jews, to the church, and everything will be fulfilled at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, when Jesus came back there, when Christ appeared back there in Ur of the Chaldees, he became the mediator of the Abrahamic covenant. Now look at the next verse. It says in verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, or literally one side. A mediator cannot be a mediator just of one side. So we know in the previous verse, if the mediator was Moses, that makes the law, a little bit shaky. It's in the hands of a mediator, and the mediator is only equivalent to one side. That's man. But look at the next verse. It said, now a mediator is not a mediator of one side, but wait a minute, God is one. What does it mean when it says God is one? Well, God is one side. Man is one side. God is one side. We needed a mediator. You say, oh, well, the Abrahamic covenant had Christ, but wait a minute. Even when Christ came to be the mediator of the Abrahamic covenant, he was only equal with God. You see, he hadn't come in the form of a man yet. He was still deity. He appeared to him as God and drew up the covenant. And so the covenant was drawn up, and 25 years later, Abraham shed blood whenever he had himself circumcised. But immediately we have a problem. God can't bleed. How was he going to ratify it in blood? My friend, that's why we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Some 2,000 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and ratified it on man's part. He came, and when he stood there that day and announced that he had come, and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus went to the cross a few years later, and on that day, God bled for man on the cross. And praise God, the covenant has been sealed on the cross. It's bleeding on man's part, bleeding on God's part. The Lord Jesus Christ ratified it, and on top of that, when he rose from the dead, he's now in heaven as the mediator of the covenant, and he's a perfect mediator because he is now God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Oh, glory to God. My friend, he can satisfy the claims of man because he is man. He can satisfy the claims of God because he is God. He is the perfect mediator of a perfect covenant. Abraham lived in the promise. Abraham lived in the time before it was fulfilled. And even Abraham, with all the blessings that he had, the Word of God says he still didn't receive all the promises. Why? Because everything Abraham received was on credit. It was accounted to him for righteousness. But my friend, the credit tab has been paid on the cross, and we walk in the literal fulfillment of it. We have been made the righteousness of God in him. Woo, glory to God. There will never be need of another covenant, because when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, it is finished, and it was finished once and for all. When he arose from the dead, the new covenant was still in effect, and praise God, the Holy Spirit's been given as the down payment on the inheritance, and we are walking in the covenant of Abraham. Oh, glory to God. You say, Brother Yandian, how do I get in on that covenant? The book of Romans says that all you have to do is believe, raise Jesus from the dead, and confess him with your mouth as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. Galatians says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. How do we become the seed of Abraham? It's not by natural birth, it's by spiritual birth. And the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born again and you become the seed of Abraham. And everything promised to Abraham and his seed now becomes available to you. Oh, praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank you for your word right now. With some I've planted, with others I've watered. But Father, I now expect for you to give the increase in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and no one looking around, you say, Brother Yandian?
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Bob Yandian. If you would like to learn more about Bob Yandian or to view a product list, visit our website at bobyandian.com. Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. If you've been blessed by this ministry, we hope you will consider paying it forward and becoming a partner with Pastor Bob. For more information, visit bobyandian.com.